Hey, folks, now let's get this episode going. We are talking about The Watcher. I'm excited for this one. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies. Hello, everyone. Welcome to We Hate Movies on the Sideshow Network. Thank you for tuning in, as always. Now, this week, we're getting down and dirty into the year 2000. The film's called The Watcher. It's directed by some fella named Joe Charbanek, or Charbanak, something like that. Hey, who cares? Point is, Keanu Reeves' serial killer movie.
Now, who is The Watcher? Is that us? Is he talking about the audience?
Oh.
Who watches The Watcher?
Getting a little meta there, I feel.
Right?
No, it's what they call Keanu Reeves in this movie, man.
He's not watching. He's not watching anything. He's killing young ladies.
He watches them beforehand quite thoroughly, we're told, and takes extensive notes.
Everyone does that.
He also has shitty DV cameras for eyes, it looks like. Because, you think he's filming them on this shitty DV camera, but you find out sort of midway through the movie that, no, that's just, Keanu cam?
It's my eyes. My cataracts.
Dude, it's amazing because you're totally right. It's like, you're watching this movie, it cuts to shitty DV cam stuff, and you're like, oh, so he's got some digital camcorder. Yes,
He's filming it and jerking off.
Yeah, he's doing some thorough research stalking these women. But then there's a scene where he's just talking to Marissa Tomei, and it cuts to this video. There's no camera in sight. It's Keanu cam.
And all of a sudden, I'm watching tape with fucking Robert Sean Leonard, and I want to throw up.
Oh, mercy me. So this movie starts with, I think, one of my favorite Keanu Reeves moments ever. Him dancing to Rob Zombie's Dragula.
Oh, you gotta dig through the bitches or burn through the ditches. What was it, witches?
Dig through the ditches and burn through the ditches. The flame, I'm in the back of my Dragula.
Doing it, baby.
More human than human.
That song doesn't come in, but actually the funny part is later in the movie, because this is it's your classic shitty movie framing narrative. Later, he's doing that dance to a different Rob Zombie song, and I was like, what the fuck?
Is it More Human Than Human? Or is that, is that White Zombie?
I think that's a White Zombie song.
Put your tweet down, sir.
But this is he's doing
Living Dead Girl.
not Living Dead Girl. Right, that's definitely a Rob Zombie song.
Yes. He's doing this little hip little kung fu dancing. Dude, everybody was kung fu dancing in this movie.
He's doing it with a gun, too. And also, that song appears in The Matrix. Dragula does.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, big time.
So it's what am I? What? That just came out last year. What happened?
It's a total I'd rather be watching The Matrix situation with this movie, that's what you're getting at.
Does this movie take place inside The Matrix?
No, it takes place in Chicago. If they should have done.
How big is The Matrix, right?
Pretty big.
Is it just that Australian city? Which I believe had Chicago street names or some such.
I don't recall.
I don't know. Maybe this could be The Matrix.
Anderson, you let yourself go.
Mr. Anderson, we believe you are purposefully out of shape for this serial killer movie.
Mr. Anderson, you finally look like a hacker.
Mr. Anderson, pleasure to meet your chins.
Mr. Anderson, I'm your grandmother. Give me a cheek pinch. Pinch in your cheek, Mr.
Mr. Anderson, I'm an overweight podcaster. The pod is calling the kettle black.
Wait, did you just say the pod is calling the kettle black? That would have been pretty smart.
I meant to say pot, so that's...
Oh,
whatever came out of my fat mouth is whatever came out of my fat mouth. So, but yeah, he's a little pudgy for Keanu Reeves. Again,
he still looks like a million bucks, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like 950?
Like 880, I think.
880? Yeah, 80. Wow.
880 grand.
Fucking brutal.
It's like you go past, you got $1 million from some bank robbery, and then you got to pay 120 to the cartel.
Right.
That's what you look like afterwards.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I mean, so translation, he still looks fabulous. Mm-hmm.
And James Spader in this is like $900,000, but like in 1929, right before the stock market crash. Because you can see it starting here, but right after this movie, it's just like, whoosh,
well, because this
everything's
is,
gone.
This
him.
Is 2 years after his crash, and that's the movie that kind of like put him off on like a different career trajectory a little bit.
Right, that was a pretty good movie though.
Yeah, but not at the time. Like nobody not gave a shit time, about it right. when it came out. It was like. It was totally yeah. just thrown in the trash, and it kind of killed his career a little bit.
I mean, in the 90s, you couldn't have like a love sequence with Elias Koteas as a man.
Yeah.
You know, you man on man. Like,
that'll ruin your career.
Also, fetish sex was kind of demonized by Newt Gingrich.
Interesting you should say that, though. This movie, it's a gay movie. It's a movie about one guy that's in love with another guy.
The Watcher. Right.
The Watcher is in love with James Spader, and it never gets there. It never no. lets. It's always just at the
it's
door.
It's just, you're just, it's right there. Like the Paula Cole song is about to start playing, mm-hmm. but nobody officially presses G8 on the jukebox, man. And you're just sitting there like, come on, do it. Mm-hmm. Just fucking yeah. do it. Hey, do it. Hey, Keanu, I saw My Own Private Idaho. Fucking do it. Do it, dog. Just do it. Come on, Spader.
Well, it's like if single white female didn't have like if at the end she wasn't like yeah I've been in love with her the whole time like physically romantically in love with her the whole time
right,
you know what
right,
I mean
right.
like it doesn't make any sense
payoff,
if it doesn't happen
right
yeah I want to see them kiss
it's Chekhov's cock better go off by the end right
is that oh no Captain my cock went off
stop making a mess on the bridge
set cocks to stun.
Oh, Lord. It went off in my tiny pants, Captain.
Perhaps someday I'll be made admiral in a useless fan film. That thing is... it's nothing to do with
Jim,
anything. That movie's a piece of shit.
Jim, is his cock going off again? Oh, God damn it. This is the 10th time he's been at sick bay for that cock. I'm a doctor, Jim, not a... cock doctor.
Captain, it's illogical if I should have to slip on the bridge one more time. I'm trying to do important reports at my science station.
Really, Spock, it's kind of making me nostalgic for old America movie theaters when you find a sticky floor.
In this movie, we also have Marissa Tomei as Lorraine Bracco in The Sopranos.
Yeah.
Because what a useless character in this movie.
She does nothing. I mean, she's kidnap bait the whole time, and you know
yep.
she is.
Yep. She is the psychiatrist to James Spader.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So a little backstory here. So James Spader is an FBI agent who was...
He is an FBI agent!
Formerly stationed in L.A. where he was going after Keanu Reeves, who is the serial killer that, you know, watches women and then strangles them with piano wire. A mishap at a crime scene has caused Spader to lose confidence in himself a little bit, and so he moves to Chicago. And like any obsessed lover would, Keanu follows him to the Windy City, and hijinks ensue.
Pretty much, yeah. It's a good, concise synopsis. We should get into the they do this thing where they keep whatever happened in L.A. as a big secret. And like while Keanu's dancing in the beginning, they're cutting between it. And then this yeah. whole movie, they're like cutting between it. The whole like whatever happened in L.A. is so boring and a non-starter. It's like it's all window dressing. It's like, oh, if we told you what it is, you'd be like, oh, fuck this movie.
Right.
But like if you keep like building it up and building it up.
But I had the wrong info in my head the entire time watching the movie, because what it is the flashback is there's a woman tied to a chair. Spader runs in the house. There's a fire. Or no, there's not a fire yet. Spader runs into the house. Keanu runs out and he has to do the like, do I untie this woman? Do yes. I run after Keanu? And he does like the, are you okay? Good. I'll be right back. The house catches on fire. This woman burns to death, basically.
Sure.
So James Spader like blames himself for it. But the way they frame it in these flashbacks, I was like, oh, fuck, man. Keanu killed his wife.
Yep.
This, that, and the other thing. And then it's so not even a thing. It turns out like it was a woman that he was sleeping with, but that woman was married. But it's like, what? Why? Why does it just make it his wife? Who cares?
It doesn't, unless the other guy is a factor, unless Keanu is actually her husband for some reason, or maybe she was married to Marissa Tomei.
Sure.
What? Or Ernie Hudson, who's in this movie?
Listen.
For 5 seconds.
It comes up to, like, Ernie Hudson makes the main credits, and I'm like, you know, fist in the air, like, hell yeah, here comes Ernie Hudson. I love him. I mean, we're talking 4 minutes of screen time. Over the course of a 97-minute movie.
Honestly, it's an atrocity.
It is.
I'll say it.
Don't tell me Ernie Hudson's in a movie and then have Ernie Hudson be barely in that movie.
He's got his cop mustache on.
Yeah. A mustache?
I love it. Say mustache.
I thought you said cock mustache.
Oh, those are pretty hip these days.
God damn it, Jim. You're not a urologist. I've been telling you.
That is what is causing it to go off in my pants, Captain. It's my cock mustache.
Your pubic hairs has got nothing to do with it, God damn it, you fucking green-blooded Russian.
I shaved my pubic hair into 1 point because it's Star Trek, right?
Yeah, that's what we call a landing strip.
So Spader is like, he's in a rough patch. Yep. He's, I guess... They never really establish if he's currently working for the FBI.
He's
still?
Not. He's on disability.
Is that he's getting the disability checks, yeah.
Because he's got like mind-altering migraines, apparently.
Oh, right. And he's like injecting himself with migraine medicine, which I didn't know was a thing.
One of the first scenes is him coming home. He's got a walking can of Coke. He's just walking around the city with a nice can of Coke.
When you are thoroughly depressed and suffering from migraines, feel free to walk around a loud city. With an ice-cold Coca-Cola.
He brings it home. He brings in the mail. He specifically has a FedEx package. Then he's like, fuck it. And he drops it. And
it's amazing because it's like you get this great moment of James Spader acting, being like, oh, my God, wait a second. Do I have a FedEx package? And then like him opening it and be like, yeah, I do.
Well, it's amazing. I've never in my life been in a situation where it's like, oh, I have mail or I have a package. And I don't immediately open it. There is such neuroses that go through my head when I have mail. And I'm just like, I got to open it. I got to just get it over with. It's probably bad news.
Letters or whatever, like I'll get to them sometime during the day before the next mail comes in. But if I get something from FedEx, that's like, oh, that's irregular. That's an eyebrow is raised. Like, either this is like a really important letter from my creditors or it's a picture of a dying woman.
Yeah. So this turns out to be a picture of a dying woman.
You know, as was the fashion at the time.
I got a quick question, though. So in Spader's apartment, he takes a nap before he even gets to this package. He's so goddamn busy with his can of Coke. He's got newspapers all over the place.
He's a hoarder.
I was wondering, is that because he later throws up on them? And I'm like, is he just kind of like living a hamster lifestyle? Like, I'm just going to let newspapers down? Or
hamster like the animal, not like the member of Mark Wahlberg's entourage.
No. R.I.P.D., bro.
Not my buddy Hamster. But like, no, he's like living like a little animal where he's got like all these newspapers all over his house.
Listen, that's the way to live, man. You don't want to get those hardwood floors messed up.
I believe that James Spader shits like a parrot.
Just pellet droppings?
Yeah.
Sure. So he's suffering through. So he gets a picture and it's like, oh no, he's back. We have no idea, unless I missed it, like what the time frame is between him leaving LA and like these new letters starting up or these new photos starting up.
I'm guessing just from some of the conversations about 6 months to a year because like Keanu's like later talks about some in between time.
There's a great moment. It's just this like disgusting Spader hoarder lifestyle. He opens the fridge. The only thing in his refrigerator that's edible is a lemon. And he peels it and starts eating it like an orange. I almost vomited. And he's just like sitting on the couch like, yeah, this will do.
Can we have like one grizzled detective or FBI agent that's got a fully stocked fridge with like some chili from last night and one Tupperware, you know what I mean? Maybe he makes himself a nice, like, he went to the deli the other day, he's got like prosciutto, he put some Havarti cheese on there, he's got some brioche, and he makes himself a nice fucking sandwich. Can I get that once in my life?
I mean, I'd love to see it, but you're not getting it here because he can't even bring himself to jerk off, which is what we learned.
That's an interesting character note.
Because it's when he's peeling this lemon and just eating it, there's a Victoria's Secret catalog, and he opens it, and he's got like a page between his fingers, and he's like, to ogle or not to ogle? And then it's like, nah. And he just closes up. It's like, this dude is suffering so hard, he can't even play with himself. That's a tough road I don't want to be on.
Which he gets magically cured. So actually, somebody gets killed in his apartment building. He comes home.
That's a turn on.
Yeah.
Yeah, now he's hard.
And he's like, oh, and you know, the detective is this guy. I think his name's Chris Ellis.
Chris Ellis has been in a thousand things.
He's been
things.
In everything.
He's doing a southern accent in this movie for no goddamn reason. There's one woman putting on a Chicago accent.
Yeah.
One. And she's got like three lines to James Spader in this movie. And that is it.
So he then finds out, oh, he has a picture of this woman in his house. It's been in the mail that's been collecting. And then he's got like two other FedEx packages. He's like, oh, shit, that girl's dead. That girl's dead. It's like, dude, what the fuck?
Well, it's awesome because he goes to Chris Ellis. Like, he calls him up and he's just like, hey, I know that girl who got murdered or whatever. And he's like, you know, how'd you come by this information? And he's like, oh, is in this FedEx package I got? And he's like, oh, great. When did you receive it? And he goes, 2 days ago.
You dick. You total dick.
Yeah, no. And I think that's kind of what jumpstarts this whole thing is like, well, shit, man. Like, the blood is on his hands. He's got to get back into the game. He says to him, like, also, by the way, I know who did this because this dude and I, you know, kind of had a Batman and the Joker thing for a while there.
That's the worst when you get that going. And then you try to move, and the guy follows you, and it's not even like, it's like, man, just get your own life, you know?
So he basically gets wrapped up in the FBI investigation.
Here's the thing about Chris Ellis.
It really
should be Chris Ellis or Ernie Hudson.
That's, yes.
I don't think that it makes sense. You didn't have deep enough. And it's great to have them both in a movie, but they both have to have something to do.
But listen, Chris Ellis, while being a fine actor, and he's totally fine in this movie, this is the Ernie Hudson role.
Yes.
Like, Ernie Hudson in this movie is playing, like, the dude above him. Mm-hmm. It should be reversed. Like, Chris Ellis is, like, the commander or whatever. Ernie Hudson is the guy, like, you know, pounding the pavement
Boots
trying to solve this
ground.
Case. Yeah, totally. And then it's kind of fine because it's like, you know, the dude who wasn't in Ghostbusters is fine having 4 minutes of screen time.
Yes, exactly.
But let fucking Ernie Hudson be in this movie, please.
Did we mention what Keanu Reeves' character's name is?
Oh, this is the please, you tell.
David Alan Greer.
No.
That's a comedian.
It's
David Alan Griffin.
It's so close to David Alan Greer. Every
it's
time
dangerously close to David Alan Greer.
Anytime somebody says it, I'm like, oh, fuck, it's going to be David Alan Greer.
Well, it's awesome, too, because I don't think every actor in the movie knew the name of James Spader's character because he's like Joe whatever.
I never knew it.
It's or, Joel.
No, well, okay, see, perfect. It's Joel, but some people in this movie are saying Joe. They definitely are. And I'm sitting there like, what is this guy's name? It's what is his name?
Joel, but Joe for short.
Yeah, I dropped that L.
The L is silent. It's French. It's Joe.
But David Alan Griffin. Every time somebody's like, oh, it's David Alan, I'm like, it's got to be Greer.
Like, no, don't arrest him.
He's a comedic treasure. He was great on In Living Color.
But it's just every time you're like, oh, man. It's like having Lee Harvey.
Oswald?
Boswald.
Lee Harvey Osmond would be the guy. Yeah. It's like, my friend Lee Harvey Osmond.
That's,
like,
that's in one of the Osmonds, one of the lesser ranks, I think.
Mark David Chatham.
James Earl Johnson. Like, it's just like, these aren't names you're allowed to put on screen.
Adolf Titler.
That's a movie I'm making. Thanks for ruining my script.
It's pretty sexy.
Steven, we have to burn the script to Adolf Titler. We think you know why.
That was the alternate title to The Night Porter.
Bravo.
You're welcome.
So Keanu is, by the way, not Keanu, Spader is...
Get them right! We're different people!
I'm just cans!
Made out of cans!
I'm cans! He's dough!
Oh my god, a remake of The Wizard of Oz with Keanu Reeves as the Tin Man?
Yeah. I'm just made out of cans! I need a heart!
There you go. Perfect. David Alan Greer can be in there somewhere.
I'd love it.
Spader's going to Marissa Tomei, who looks exactly like the woman he was banging.
Yeah, that's, you know, a little weird, Spader.
That's a bit weird. You have to announce that.
And he's like, yeah, I'm shopping for a psychiatrist, but I think I just hit the jackpot. Mm-hmm.
How many people go in that office just to hit on her? She's got to be like, you know what, man? No.
Keanu does it.
Yeah, he does. He's like,
how many people do you think visit you because you're so beautiful?
You're like, I know you're a serial killer, so ew, but really, ew. Double ew.
So he's on the case. Keanu finally calls him. He's like, hey, it's me. I followed you to Chicago. Chicago sucks.
It's so cold.
He does get in a dig at New Jersey for no reason.
Though. Yeah, that hurt my feelings.
What does he say about Jersey?
He's like, at least you didn't move to New Jersey.
And then they both go, jokes.
But he basically is like, oh,
pretty damn jokes.
I'm gonna make a game, okay? Do you want to play a game? But it's basically like, I'm gonna send you a picture every time because you've not been opening my mail that I've been sending you.
Have you been receiving my packages? Like,
I got delivery confirmation.
Shipping isn't free, James Spader.
It's bullshit.
I guess I'm gonna need signature required.
Was it because I was spelling your name without the silent L?
All right, Spader, you're going to have to go to the shipping hub to get that picture.
By the way, the girl's totally dead.
It's open between the hours of 10 and 1. It's in a really inconvenient part of the city, and you have to go there to get the picture.
I didn't want to have to come to this because you're literally home all fucking day. But no, so he says, I'm going to send you a picture. You have until 9 p.m. that night to find this woman or else I'm going to kill her. Like, that's the game. This is the game of cat and mouse. We're going to be catting and mousing.
Oh, sure. And let me tell you, so this is, you can tell that this is the year 2000. We're making this movie in 99.
Well, because it had Dracula in the beginning.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mainly tipped off due to Dracula.
Also, one of the most prominent locations in this film is a mall.
Well, that's what I was getting to. So this woman that he's stalking works at a camera store in a mall where you can buy film for a film camera. And when I was watching it, I was like, oh, I should warn the audience if they find themselves in this particular situation. But you never will.
No.
Because these stores don't exist. But what happens is he walks in and he's like, can this film do whatever? And she's like, I don't know, I just work here. And what he does is he loads the film into this camera and he starts taking pictures of this woman. And I was going to say, you know, all you people out there in listener land, if you're working at a store, a camera store, and some dude comes in taking pictures of you in the camera store, you should probably call the police.
Yeah. But now that's just what everyone does. Everyone's right. Taking pics.
Oh,
it doesn't matter,
dude.
Where you are, you're getting your pic taken.
Oh, yeah, dude, getting some selfies in there, too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then before you know it, you're on Vine falling down an escalator.
search Eric Sisko falling down an escalator.
No, don't encourage them. it's out there, but I don't like it.
I saw.
Oh, that really happened?
No.
I was shocked.
I'm glad my acting.
it's getting better.
So there's like a manhunt out for this woman. They're trying to, you know, it's more like they're trying to protect her at this point,
yes.
Get her, mm-hmm. Not so much trying to, you know, wrangle Keanu. And it's a thing where he has picked the perfect victim because mm-hmm. This woman has no friends. Mm-hmm. This woman has no family in the area. She has a job that no one even looks her in the eye when they're buying camera equipment
from
her.
I find a lot of this stuff unbelievable, though.
And yeah, she's totally clueless. Well, remember also, I mean, look, we're talking about the late 90s. We're writing and making this movie.
Sure.
I mean, there's no social media, man.
That's true.
It was possible to be off the grid.
But
yeah. Oh, she's still totally clueless, if that's
and
what
she's
saying.
She's an attractive young woman.
I was going
to
say that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and for she's supposed to be 24 years old and whatnot, and, you know, she's not involved with anyone, which is fine, but, like, James Spader gets a picture of her in the mail, right? That's what we're leading up to.
Yeah. Yes.
And he's got a day to find her or whatever, they're going to kill her. And they're talking about how she's, like, the shut-in or whatever, and it's and James Spader's like, well, he's not going to send me a picture of a prom queen.
Yes.
And that's what I was like, what is that dig?
Yeah.
She has, number one, she could be a prom queen.
She has glasses.
Yeah, but if, you know, if you're involved in a bet and you get those taken off.
Oh, I see.
She could be prom.
She could be all that.
There might be a she's all that prior to this movie.
She was a stupid bet. She was just a stupid bet. She was a game to me.
I took her to prom.
Listen, man, attractive people can be Kathy cartoons too, okay?
I guess so.
I mean, she's sitting at home. They have her. I mean, it is a Kathy cartoon. She minus, like, the pint of ice cream. Mm. She's got the cat. She's watching a movie that she comes in the middle of, and her life is so meaningless that she doesn't even care to start a movie from the beginning.
Oh, come on.
You've all been
not
there.
Not everyone's you.
But that's what's happening. That's what's happening. And then her mother calls her and harasses her about whether or not she's on a date.
Yeah.
Walking, living, breathing Kathy cartoon.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't think this movie's very good.
Well, no, it's on We Hate Movies. Of course it's not good.
It's on what?
The name of the show that you've been doing for 6 years.
I resign.
The interesting thing is, James Spader's a burnout, like he's doing drugs and blah, blah, blah. The funny thing is, like, he comes back to the FBI, Ernie Hudson's like, all right, you're now lead on this case because you used to work it. And this guy named Mitch Casper, well, used to be working it.
Oh, the dude who hates his rotten guts.
Yes. That's a placeholder name in a screenplay.
Yes. So is David Alan Griffin.
Yes.
Yeah, these names are all making the final cut, which is awesome.
But, Spader keeps shitting on him. He's like, hey, you know, blow these pictures up. Give me a list of these names and blah, blah, blah. But the interesting thing is, like, Spader as a detective in this movie is not a genius. Like, he's not doing, like, Sherlockian, like, oh, that, like, she's using this, that means she's left-handed.
No,
or like
he's just working the case.
He is. He's just chasing.
He seems mostly out of his element.
He really does.
He does.
And it's to me, putting Mitch Casper on it. You know what? Mitch has been working this the last 6 months. Spader is a consultant, but it's Mitch's case.
But I think, you know, it's like maybe it's a seniority thing. Maybe it's a, you know, Joel has been working it since L.A.
Oh, you want to count those? Then.
Oh, Joe.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I forgot about that silent L. So this manhunt goes on and on. They, like, get to the mall. They do a bullshit thing where James Spader is standing in front of a glass elevator.
Yeah.
And the woman gets on the elevator and Spader doesn't see her. And you're like, well, in a good movie, you'd be like, he's right behind you. But yeah. In this movie, you're like, oh, the watcher.
Whatever. Yeah, I mean, they get there too late. Keanu kills her. Can we talk a little bit about Keanu Reeves in this movie? A little bit about maybe why he's in this movie?
This is an interesting couple of tales.
There's two different theories out there. One for IMDb and one from Wikipedia. IMDb says Keanu attached himself to this movie because he liked the script, but the role was really small. It was like a cameo. He's like, yeah, I'll be a serial killer. You know, you'll get me for a day. They locked him into a rate, but then they started shopping his name around, and then they got all these other people and more money, and everyone wound up making more money than him, and then they also bumped up his role.
Think about how this shit works. Both James Spader and Marissa Tomei got $1 million for this movie.
Are you shitting me?
A million bucks a piece, man.
Wow.
And Marissa Tomei's in this movie for like 9 minutes.
Keanu got scale.
Keanu?
Keanu. I'm making scale!
You idiot!
What am I, a dragon?
So, the Wikipedia theory...
Wow.
Yeah, it's one of those nights.
Whatever. He tried to get out of it, but then he realized like he'd be in a lot of legal trouble, so he just did it kind of very begrudgingly.
Right.
The Wikipedia theory is so much better, which is that one of his friends signed his name on a contract, and that's why he needed to be in the movie.
Can you imagine some dude just like, oh, this will be hilarious. We're going to make Keanu legally bound to make this movie.
What are you doing, Brian?
Brian, did you sign my name to a contract?
Brian, did you just switch my cell provider, you idiot?
Brian, I didn't get HBO until today, Brian.
Brian, why am I doing The Watcher? Oh, no, I'm doing The Watcher. Brian!
Brian, get in here. This document says I'm doing The Watcher. Is that true, Brian?
Look, I allow you to open my mail. I allow you to live in my pool house, Brian. But this is too far.
Brian, I never thought I would see the day when my executive mail assistant double-crossed me.
Brian, where are my Matrix sunglasses? Are you walking around town in my Matrix sunglasses, Brian?
Take off my speed jacket, Brian. I got that when I made Speed. Dennis Hopper gave it to me as a present.
Also, don't talk to Dennis Hopper anymore. When he calls, put me on the phone.
Or say, Keanu's not home, Dennis.
Stop committing me to serial killer movies, Brian.
Oh, fuck, Brian, the lake house, goddamn you!
Am I in The Replacements, Brian? Brian, it's a football movie.
Look at me, Brian. Do I look like I know anything about football?
Brian, did you shred the good Bill and Ted 3 script? You are such a dick, Brian. You are now assistant to the assistant of my mail opening. Ted, get in here. You're Brian's supervisor.
Brian's not living in the pool house for long, Ted.
That could be your spot, Ted.
Ted's going to have to find the ganja from now on, I think.
I just imagine his house is like a really nice, you know, palatial Hollywood estate, but it's also, it says Keanu Industries on it.
What, on like the gate?
No, like inside of his bedroom.
Does he have mirrors on the ceiling?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, I owe you an apology. John Wick was a total success. Man, but what a shit thing. Who knows if that's true, but can you imagine?
In either case, it's very clear that he doesn't want to be in this movie.
Well, you can tell that from watching the movie. I mean, you just watch him in this movie. And, like, I've said this on this show before, and I'll say it forever. I fucking love Keanu Reeves. I will watch Keanu Reeves in anything. I have seen The Lake House, goddammit. But you can tell in this movie, he's just like, man, that fucking Brian is a real son of a bitch. What a terrible April Fool's Day prank it was signing me on to this movie.
When did Brian take over? Like, right after River's Edge?
Right after River's Edge? No, there's been some good things since River's Edge.
Speed, I guess, right?
The first Matrix?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, The Matrix, right. Cool.
Look, whenever it is, and I'm saying it on the air so we can sue somebody if this happens, the side podcast, I want to get on the air one of these days, catching up with Keanu. Go through all of them, man.
Every single thing, including TV shows.
Sure.
Right? Was he ever on a guest spot?
He had some TV movies and things. Like
was
when he
ever
was starting
on The Cosby Show, man?
I don't think... No, that was Adam Sandler you're thinking of.
Brian, why did I get... Why am I supposed to be on the set of ER right now? Why is this week's director of this week's ER upset with me?
You know who I don't want on my bad side, Brian? Michael Crichton. You might not remember, Brian, but he helped develop that show. Now I know why I didn't get The Lost World. Thanks, Brian. Big help, bro.
Imagine a scenario at some swanky Hollywood party where Keanu Reeves is trying to meet Michael Crichton and gets the coldest of shoulders. What the hell?
He said something about, well, it was convenient I bothered to show up to a party but not to work. Brian, do you have any idea what that could mean? Any idea what that's in reference to?
Said I
no?
couldn't even play a robot in a Westworld remake. That's what he said, Brian.
Brian, you know how much I love Westworld, right? Like, really, really love it?
Brian, it's so awkward. Now I can't go to Michael Crichton's funeral. The bad blood has gone so far. He has put me in his will that I can't be in any projects. That is so fucked up, Brian, and you fucked that up for me.
Stay tuned for Michael Crichton's funeral.
He's dead. Oh,
is he dead?
He's been dead for a couple of years.
Dude, he's long dead.
Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
He died of cancer like 3 or 4 years ago, possibly longer.
Wow. R.I.P.D. Oh, wait, he wrote the book R.I.P.D. is based on, right? He must have.
It was the one time he dabbled in the world of bad comics.
So this woman dies.
Oh, right. Yeah, she's long dead.
Now the second one is like a busker or something.
No. She's a runaway. A runaway.
But she's not like a drug addict. She's just kind of hanging out.
Runaways are drug addicts.
She is a runaway train.
And she's never coming back, turns out.
Yeah.
She's going the wrong way on a one-way track.
So Keanu catches her eye. He's walking in the street. And she's like, oh, you know, spare change. And he's like, hey, would you like to dance? And she's like, no, there's no music. And she's like flirting with this guy. I mean, again, he looks like Keanu Reeves, but like, get the fuck out of there, lady.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, yeah. Serial killers can be handsome. We're talking Ted Bundy syndrome.
Sure.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
He was just the handsomest dreamboat till he killed you.
It's
kind of awesome, though, because it's like, it's one of those moments, he doesn't say it, but it's sort of an implied, like, there's music everywhere, like, kind of bullshit thing you hear people say, and they're just, like, dancing around in this public space, and it's, like, embarrassing.
So she gets the next picture, and then we're running around there, and, like, her mom, like her mom finds her on TV, and she's like, oh my God, she's a runaway, but she's, like, still pissed. She's like, yeah, I don't know, whatever. That one over there thinks she's going to make something of herself. And I'm like, your daughter is in the crosshairs of a serial killer, madam.
Yeah. Oh, it's awesome because she's like, they say something about like, when was the last time you heard from her? And she's like, oh, yeah, she called a couple months ago, said she had a new boyfriend, a lawyer. Yeah, right. You're just like, lady, again, crosshairs of a serial killer, if you don't mind.
What I love about this teenage runaway is one of her big lines to beg for money is going, hey, Dad, don't you remember me? Like, just trying to,
she's not very good at being a grifter.
She's very bad, but just the just the fact that you'd go to, like, hey, like, oh, there's got to be, I don't know, in this public plaza, there's probably 30 estranged fathers.
I'm in the estranged father district of Chicago.
I'm 16 to 17 years old. Somebody must have had sex 16 to 17 years ago. Right?
Would that have ever worked?
No.
Is that what it's supposed to be? Is like a surprise kiddening?
Yeah, it's like, I'm your kid. Now take care of me.
I'm your kid, but all I need from you is a couple bucks to get on the L.
Well, no, it's the panhandler's credo, which is to stop you in your tracks no mater what. You'll see this in Times Square, and if you ever come to Times Square, A, don't. But B, anyone that wants to give you a free CD, you don't touch that CD.
You don't talk to those guys.
Not at all. Also, look out for those Woodies.
Woodies?
They're dressed up like Woody the Cowboy.
Oh, ew.
Oh, but they got like boners too. Is that what is? That's what you're really hitting Woody's hard there.
Mickey Mouse probably has boners too, and Elmo's notorious boner.
Dude, anti-Semitic Elmo was my favorite of those Times Square deadbeats.
He was the best. His name was Adam Sandler.
Oh, that's right.
No relation, but he was a self-hating Jew that would yell stuff about how bad Jewish people are.
And can you imagine some innocent family from Wisconsin who thinks going to Times Square is a great thing to do with your time and money, and then all of a sudden this Elmo, the mouth of Elmo, comes all this anti-Semitic nonsense.
You're paying these people to pose with your children, and these people are like the most dangerous men alive.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
This is like...
nothing to lose.
Yeah, these are like... there could be a cartel assassin under one of those masks.
Hey, Brian, you may have noticed I put a Cookie Monster costume on your bed. Get the fuck out.
That's your new role, Brian.
You're my official Cookie Monster player.
Enjoy Hollywood Boulevard.
That's where it started.
And full disclosure, I can't do Keanu Reeves' voice.
That's fine.
None of us can. I don't know what the hell we're doing.
No one's like, oh my God, did they get Keanu Reeves episode?
I closed my eyes for a second. I thought he was in here.
I'd love it if Keanu Reeves came over to my house. I'd roll out the good china, everything.
You'd play James Spader for him, that's for sure.
Hell yeah, dude. Dude, I'd be like, hey, Keanu, you want to play the lake house? Let's sit here and write each other letters from the future.
Dude, for that future podcast, how about him on every single episode?
Oh,
it's
man.
It's like a career retrospective.
Brian, did you sign me up for a podcast?
Oh, God damn it, Brian.
I'm on every fucking episode.
What a commitment.
So much for John Wick 2. Huh?
So
I can't wait for that movie. Anyway,
she's living in a squat. Keanu finds her there. She's got like some sort of boyfriend, I guess.
There's some sort of skater boy that's hanging out. And this nice. dude
yeah.
is the late 90s in yep. human form.
Yeah, let him have it.
Oh, my God. He's like a living, breathing pog, this fucking weirdo. Oh, my God, this guy.
I think
guy.
He was in the New Radicals.
Dude, this guy's going to get what you give, man. Don't give up. Oh, my God. The oh, fucking, my God, this guy.
The fucking bass player of Marcy's Playground.
Oh, my God. Well, he does. Been. I mean, I'm reading the subtext. I think he's giving this young girl sex and candy.
I see. So he, Spader is like being really aggressive on the street. Like, hey, because I mean, it's still Spader, and like, he's not likable in this movie. Like,
he's not. No,
he's just he's so not. Mean to everybody.
But what is awesome in what you just referenced, where he's being aggressive, what they're doing, like the clock is ticking. He's probably got a bad headache.
Yeah.
And he sees there's like these beat cops and they're like, you seen this girl? And like people are just walking by and he's like, no, that's not how you do it. That's not how you do it. You get up to somebody, you can say, hey, did you see this girl? And someone's like trying to walk by and he grabs this fat guy like by the tie. And he's like, get the fuck over here. You see this fucking girl? Look at the fucking picture. And the guy's like, no, man. Hey, no. And like, you know, just runs away and he's like, no, see, fellas, that's how you do it. I want to see more of that from now on.
So he grabs the lead singer of Savage Garden and shakes him. And he's like, hey, man, have you seen this girl? And he's like, fuck you, pig. And then there's like a fake chase.
Oh, yeah, that it's one of several times in this movie James Spader has to run a couple city blocks and gets mighty winded.
He sure does.
Oh, man. So, yeah, he kind of like shoves this dude up against a car and he's like, just in a minute, you're totally fucked. Just 1 minute.
So they go there. The girl just gets killed. And now this is when Keanu gets it. There's another chase now. There's a lot of
the start of this though. I have to
please,
mention
please,
it because it's two instances of people using things to hit other things that you don't normally use to hit things.
Yeah,
so this true. First one is like this woman is like sleeping. She has a fire that's burning inside an open box fan because yep. that's how you do.
Is that a euphemism?
No. Not. She's literally. You know what?
All right. Yeah.
And so. Like, he comes in, she's got music on. And
it's like all fake Tori Amos throughout this entire movie.
Big time. And he's like, that's some mighty fine music you have there. And she goes, oh, you like it? Let me turn it up. And she leans down and she grabs this radio and smacks him in the face with a radio. It's awesome. But then she's murdered.
She's murdered very quickly. Brian, I got hit in the face today with a radio.
Do you know anything about that, Brian?
For this fucking movie you signed me up for.
I didn't even read the script, but you did, Brian.
You thought it'd be good for me.
You thought it'd be funny to see me get hit in the face with a radio, Brian.
So
it's real fucking funny, Brian.
So he's chasing, Spader's chasing him. There's a helicopter. That for some reason can't keep up with Keanu. Because like, the light is on him. And then like Keanu in all of his duff like spins. And this helicopter's like, where'd he go?
And this is, it's bullshit because it does what Daredevil did last week. It starts at a random part. This yep. movie starts at a random part of the movie
yeah.
and then flashes back. That's what this is because you realize like, oh, wait a second. All these police cars pulling up these helicopters. These are like the first shots of the movie.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
But it's nothing. I mean, we're barely halfway through the movie when this happens.
So he gets it. Another, I think you were about to say, the yep. other thing that you hit something with.
Oh, man.
So he goes to like an abandoned whatever. Keanu's on the run. He picks up a toilet and puts it through a car window.
Dude, let me tell you something. You ever see a guy break a window with a toilet? Watch this movie and you can add that to your list. Holy shit, he picks up it's a full-size toilet and breaks this window.
It's pretty cool.
Oh, man, it's awesome.
Then there's an incredibly long car chase that goes on and
it's
on.
A car chase that I think Christopher Nolan stole from Batman, man. It's the same
There's
thing.
A lot in this that's stolen from Christopher Nolan stole from the Batman movies. But, like, this was kind of reminding me of the Blues Brothers.
Yeah, there's a lot of hilariously flipping cop cars in this movie. But, man... the most impossible thing. The way this car chase ends is Keanu pulls into like a closed gas station and he slides the car so that like the back of the car knocks out all the gas tanks and gas is flying everywhere.
And he's just a fucking pervert. Like, he's not an ex-CIA whatever.
Or
like,
a stunt driver.
He's not John Wick.
He's a fucking pervert that kills women with piano wire.
Yeah, he's a pervert that can use piano wire pretty well and take some mighty fine photographs. But that's about as far as it goes.
Yes.
And so the gas is just hemorrhaging all over this lot. These cop cars pull up. Keanu, he's got the windshield wipers on in the car, which is pretty funny. His car is getting covered in gasoline. He takes out a Zippo and throws it, like lights it and throws it. This fire trail goes. It lights up these police cars. It's a massive explosion. All these dudes are dead. But the hood of his car sets on fire a little bit, and he just drives off with this car on fire.
That's against every movie law of physics, because once a car even remotely gets on fire, it has to explode.
Like,
That's against everything I've ever seen in movies.
Brian, let me ask you, did you read this ridiculous scene with this car chase? How is my car not blowing up? Wouldn't a logical movie to sign me up for in secret, Brian?
Cut to 8 years later. Brian, do you know I can't be in The Dark Knight because it rips off a movie I was previously in?
I just lost Batman, Brian. Batman!
Your actions have consequences you can't understand, Brian.
Now, who would he have played in...
I guess Two-Face? Yeah, it would have to be Two-Face.
Oh, he probably... You know what? No, because what I realized while watching this movie, while I love him... Keanu can't play villains.
No.
This is weird. And I was trying to recall if he has played villains in other movies.
So Joseph Gordon-Levitt's role?
Oh, he's too old for that.
I mean, older than Bale. What could he be? Like, Jim Gordon? He's not Batman. First, I'm striking that from the record. He's not.
Fair enough.
Maybe not.
Could Ra's al Ghul?
Maybe
he's got that Matrix cash.
That's a villain, but
yeah, that's true.
Maybe Bane.
Maybe
oh, Brian! Finally, the role of a lifetime.
No, the GNN reporter who played
Anthony Michael Hall.
Yeah. or the tubby dude that like that the Joker says
Anthony Michael Hall.
No, the guy that's like, why should I have all the fun? Like, everyone can go kill this guy.
The accountant guy, yeah.
Yeah. That exactly.
Or maybe the Morgan Freeman role.
Maybe, yeah. I don't agree with this mass surveillance, Batman.
That's more like it, Mr. Wayne.
Oh, what if he was Maggie Gyllenhaal in The Dark Knight? Be nice to Jim Gordon. He's a friend.
Maybe, what was it, like Tony Lister's role or whatever? The criminal on the boat?
Oh, God. Man. There's something that makes that movie imperfect, and it's that fucking
sideshow.
Yeah, but if it was Keanu.
Oh, making it better?
Maybe.
I'm just doing what you should have done 10 minutes ago.
Could he done a Jonathan Crane?
That's probably the best. I mean, he couldn't be a good Joker. He's not mad.
No.
He's not
right. Scarecrow, maybe. Or maybe he could get a pencil through his head. I think he'd be good at that.
So somehow he evades police officers.
Helicopters, all sorts of shit. He gets away. And like, here's something. James Spader's like, he keeps calling James Spader because they're playing cat and mouse. It's hilarious. Even, I think it's the second time, the second lady that gets put on alert. And, like, every time they go to the media and, like, everything, it's all over TV. Like, oh, my God, this woman, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And, like, at one point, like, the media even says, I guess this game of cat and mouse will go another day. Like, they literally say the words cat and mouse, which you shouldn't do in your script. But he keeps calling up Spader and he's like, you keep going to that shitty Vietnamese restaurant, or like, your apartment is crap. Wouldn't you be like, okay, hey FBI agents, why don't you stake out my house? I want 6 agents to follow me around.
Right.
And if you see anybody else following me around,
right,
they sort of have the seed of that idea though, because they cut to a scene of it's Spader and Chris Ellis at the Vietnamese restaurant, and he's like, Chris Ellis is like, what a shitty restaurant. This is the worst restaurant in the city. And Spader's like, it's okay. By the way, you think he's watching us right now? And Chris Ellis is like, nah. And then he just goes on to complain about how he can't use chopsticks.
Speaking of which, did you guys read that IMDb trivia that was like, it's ironic because James Spader hates Vietnamese food.
Oh, man. Oh.
What the fuck was that about?
Dude, talk about useless things taking up space on the internet. Why? Why does that need to exist?
And how does that exist?
Exactly.
Better update the trivia listing for The Watcher. Turns out I hate Vietnamese food.
He's doing it, right?
He's emailing.
From the Blacklist trailer.
Wade Redden would hate Vietnamese food, too.
Yeah. Wait, what'd you call him?
Isn't his name Wade Redden? Or Reddington?
Ray Reddington. Oh, Raymond Reddington.
Reddington. Yeah. I thought it was Wade.
No, it's not.
Ray. Reddington.
Who's Wade? The Merc with the Mouth?
No, his name is Ray. Yes, Wade Wilson is the Merc with the Mouth. Deadpool.
Oh.
In theaters last week. But he's... I think he's... Isn't he Red Reddington?
Yes, that's...
It's but that's such a stupid... That's incredible. Dumb.
Red Reddington. Wait.
Like,
I don't,
Eric,
you know what, I don't know.
You watch the show actively?
I dropped, like, I'm like 8 episodes behind.
But I don't think, his name has existed the entire time you've been watching.
I don't know.
Something tells me his name was spoken sometime before season 2 started.
Yes, no, I'm sure I've heard it 7,000 times, but I'm not going to listen to
listen,
that.
I watched a couple episodes of that show. I think it's okay. It was one of those, like, I'm watching way too much TV.
That's the position I was in, my friend. And yep. I said, goodbye, Reddington.
Whatever
and
your
I
name
let him
is.
Go off the top of Nakatomi Tower.
You know what I was... You know what I was happy to pick up, though?
Yeah.
Is that Baskets.
Yeah. No,
with Galifianakis and Louis Anderson.
2 episodes and it was really good.
It's fucking
Louis
awesome.
Louis Anderson is incredible. In that show.
He really is.
It's, I think we're
Steve, have you seen it yet?
No, I haven't. And you know, but I do like, you know, because it's important. Like, we make fun of people all the time and we're just fat idiots. Like, sometimes people do good shit and when Louis does well, good for him. Good on him.
We're just
He's not on a fucking diving board. Thank God.
Thank God.
We're having fun on this show. We don't actually viciously hate Louis Anderson or Brian Keanu's pool house boy.
I might hate him. Because he doesn't exist.
We can actually hate fake people. But anytime it's talking about a real person, maybe aside from Jim Belushi, you know, it's an act.
We might be coming up to the Belushi and Sons, right?
The Belushi Sons.
It's happening, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What was he using that? Call Me a Hero?
Show Me a Hero. He's in it for like 1 episode. It's very subdued performance.
Yeah, you got to stop fucking with the city of Yonkers, you piece of shit.
And he's apparently going to have a role on Twin Peaks in some way.
You got to stop fucking with the town of Twin Peaks, you piece of shit.
He's Confederate. I picture him confronting Canadian gangsters.
I thought you were going to say he was a Confederate soldier.
He could be. Anything could happen
on
Twin Peaks.
Oh, hey, the South will rise again in the sleepy town of Twin Peaks.
I'm a specter of the past. I'm here to remind you, Dale Cooper, that look out. I don't know.
Speaking of, I don't know. So,
I don't know.
One of the things that Spader should totally be surveilling and should know about is that clearly he's going to go after your therapist. He's following you. You know he's following you. You know he's going to follow you to your therapist, who happens to be an attractive woman, which happens to be this guy's MO, even though he's clearly a gay man who wants to have sex with you.
Now, so here's a bit of bullshit, though. So there's a scene where Keanu, like, Spader gets in an elevator and, you know, you see the big gloved hand open the door back up.
He's wearing, like, a saber-tooth jacket in this scene. Like, it's like, he suede looks, and fur.
He looks pretty cool. And, well, Keanu always looks cool. Yeah. And so Keanu gets in the elevator and you're like, oh, fuck, you know. But what you learn from all of those flashbacks of, like, Spader running after him and the fire and all that... He definitely knows what Keanu Reeves looks like.
At least the haircut. The haircut's the same.
And this dude gets on. Now, to Keanu's credit, he doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
But come on. You know what this dude looks like. He gets within like 10 feet of him.
And what happens is Marissa Tomei is a terrible therapist who not only Keanu goes in for a consultation. He's like, oh, do you tape your sessions? And she's like, why, as a matter of fact, I do. For all my patients, like, interesting information to know.
Wait, just to confirm, every last one of them.
And you keep them here for some reason in an unlocked cabinet?
Would it be that filing cabinet over there?
You wouldn't happen to label them all with the actual names of the patients, do you? Because that would be super helpful, as opposed to using like patient number one or some other coding mechanism so that people can't break into it and steal people's deepest, darkest secrets.
Oh, crap. Let me clarify. Helpful to you. You is the only person opening that filing cabinet over there.
Which is unlocked, right?
Just to be clear, for you.
It's nuts. She labels this guy. It's just like John Campbell. You know, the whole fucking name. And Keanu like breaks in like with a credit card practically. And just opens this up and steals it. And then starts listening to his tapes.
They're probably pleasuring himself. Because it's like, you know, he's talking about Keanu Reeves. Yes, so it's like, he's talking about me. Oh!
And so the last act of this movie is basically the last picture that he sends Keanu is Keanu Spence Spader is the woman that they killed in L.A.
Right.
The prequel to The Watcher. The Watcher Begins. The last act of The Watcher Begins is this.
Right.
It's this woman, and he's like, oh, it's that grave that I always manly go to and cry in front of. So he goes there.
Well, because that's the Creep City thing. And Keanu has a point. So, like, James Spader takes a cab to the cemetery, which, by the way, taking a cab into the cemetery, listen, get out and walk. Be like, drop me off at these gates and I will walk into the cemetery. That was weird.
There's some big cemeteries out there, you know?
I don't care. It's weird.
Well, you know.
You just turned into Paul Giamatti for a second. I don't care.
You shouldn't be paying fares inside of a cemetery. It's fucking weird. But so it turns out, and Keanu totally has a point here, because it's the grave of the dead woman in Chicago. Yeah. And Keanu's like, did you move here to be closer to the grave of this dead woman? That's fucking sad, James Spader. And what's awesome is Keanu, very disrespectfully, is sitting there with a six or a Sing Tao on the fucking tombstone, just knocking back a couple of beers.
I was kind of watching this in the day. I was like, ooh, day drinking. That's kind of fun.
Dude, I watched this at 9 o'clock in the morning, and I was like, day drinking? That's kind of fun.
I watched this at night, and I was like, ooh, intimidating mourners. That's kind of fun.
The worst line of the movie is, like, so Keanu's like, you fucking idiot. You went all the way here for a dead woman. He's like, I don't know. Do you just sit here going, she loves me. She's decomposing.
Oh,
she loves
gross.
Me.
Yeah.
She's decomposing. Brian, you have to read this. This script sucks, Brian.
Can I tell you, that's a bad line, but there's a line that I feel may rival it for the worst
line
of the movie.
You are not my talent agent. Sorry, I had to do that.
No, just previously in the movie, it means nothing. But after that whole car chase or whatever, Spader goes on some kind of drug bender or something. I want to mention it only because it's like Ernie Hudson's only substantial scene in the movie.
Sure.
Is he's like, you know, knocking on the door and Spader's not answering. They break in and they look around the apartment. Ernie Hudson finds him laying in the refrigerator. Like, he's on the floor, but his head's like in the refrigerator. And Ernie Hudson's like, well, he's ice cold. And I'm like, well, he was sleeping in a refrigerator, Ernie Hudson. And he's hospitalized briefly. It means nothing.
Zero. So basically, he's like, all right, Spader brought a gun. He's like, I got a gun on you. And he's like, yeah, well, the only way you're going to see your therapist, who looks remarkably like this dead woman alive, is if you follow me on my game of cat and mouse.
No, here's what you do. You shoot him in the leg instantly.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And, you know, in your paperwork, you say, like, you spotted him and he was running away. Or
sure, sure. Yeah, know? Absolutely.
Obviously, you just doctor your police work.
Like everyone does.
I mean, everyone's doing it.
We've all done it.
We all got kicked off the NYPD. We didn't, we didn't mention that. That was the prequel series.
So Spader gives him his gun and they're about to go. The cheapest thing this movie does, which is amazing, is like they're in the graveyard. He gives him the gun and start walking away to I guess, Keanu's car. And Keanu fires the gun.
Oh,
the screen goes white, like, because there's no blanks in the gun. And he's like, oh, you left it loaded. Ha ha. And it's like, dude, you didn't put a blank in that gun.
No.
Or maybe the effect didn't work or something.
There's a lot
Or is it supposed to like represent like, oh, my migraines are going off from that gunshot?
It's possibly kind of that, because the other thing that this movie is filled with is late 90s music video camera filters.
Yeah.
All over That's the true. Fucking place. Yeah. They've got a lot of that choppy slow motion shit, like yep. strobe effect garbage.
Living dead girl. In the back of my dragula.
Not the crash test dummies.
They're yep. in there.
No,
they
I know.
they were there. They were in the back of the dragula.
Sorry, there's no more room in the dragula. The crash test dummies are taking up the whole back seat.
Oh my God. Carpool in.
I mean, I'm sure some bad sketch comedy team's done this already, but sure. it's Rob Zombie solving mysteries inside the Dracula.
Oh,
it's him,
yeah.
the crash test dummies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, we could make like a fucked up 1990s Scooby-Doo mystery team.
Sure.
They're done. Just driving around in the Dracula. You have a couple of... Weren't there... you could have the spider from the Sex and Candy video. He's yeah. there. He's their Scooby.
He's talking to everyone.
Yeah, but he's voiced by Danny DeVito.
Bumblebee Girl is kind of like the Oracle.
Yeah.
She's got all the computers back there. Or no, she's the Velma. I'm sorry. She's Velma.
Right.
She's Bumblebee Girl
Or Penny from Inspector Gadget type of vibe. You know,
yeah,
she's
yeah,
got
yeah.
all the... She's no. She's figuring things out.
Bumblebee Girl from Blind Melon.
Right. The yes. Blind Melon video. Yeah, totally. We could do this. Mm-hmm. Beavis and Butthead are there.
Another thing this movie loves, which is... It's a 90s thing.
The ghost of Kurt Cobain. They pulled the mask off.
Also voiced by Danny DeVito.
Or Frank Welker.
Oh, yeah. Frank
Welker. I heard Welker can do a mean Cobain. We're on the road to
oh, no, but the thing that
the hideout.
Yeah, we're on the road to the hideout, and we get there, and
there's... Well, this is the car scene, though. This is somewhere. It's some weird garbage. This is where Keanu's, like, comes closest to kissing him. When
yeah,
he's
yeah.
just like, you know, you're like my best friend. And my brother, and kind of my dad. Like, it's this whole speech, and it's kind of awesome. Because what, like, Spader's driving the car, and Keanu's riding shotgun, saying this speech, and he, like, hits him, and he's like, you fucking look at me when I talk to you. And Spader looks at him like, I'm driving a car.
And it's actually a nice pairing, because I think that they have decent enough chemistry.
They do. Just you need it in a better movie.
Spader is pissed off this entire time because he's James fucking Spader and he doesn't want to have to talk to anybody.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I think that's why he excelled so well at doing the voice of Ultron, because it was just him in a room.
He never had to meet anyone.
No.
I'm sure him and Robert Downey Jr. had a nice dinner. They talked about Tough Turf for a little bit.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, to be a fly on the wall of that really nice restaurant where there aren't any flies in reality.
And, like, you know, maybe RDJ gives Spader shit about his hair going, and then he's like, yeah, well, at least I had the balls to let it go. He's like, what are you talking about? Wait, what are you talking about?
Dude, is that a rug?
No, I don't know.
Oh.
I'm just saying it.
Yeah.
Who knows? Everybody...
He's got to be dying it, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, like, look, if Robert Downey Jr. actually had plugs or a rug, he has enough money that it would look as amazing as his actual hair does, so you would never know.
Turns out Iron Man money gets you a pretty good rug.
It does. No, I'm sure he has regular, real hair. So they go inside. Marissa Tomei is inside of a warehouse. This is when we cut. So there's gasoline everywhere. There's a shotgun mounted at her face.
Sure. It's a mouse trap, booby trap situation. So it's like if anyone opens the door that's not Keanu, mm-hmm. this gun's just going to shoot her to pieces.
Yeah, you touch that cheese, the cage is going to fall.
That's right.
And this is, I guess Spader like left his phone on, so Ernie Hudson knows. And this is when like, Keanu starts dancing, and he's doing like devil horns on his head. Mm-hmm.
Dude, he's
my
doing
human man.
Yeah, he's doing the Dracula dance.
And I can't imagine he's not dancing. That there's any other reason for him dancing other than to kind of try and turn James Spader on. He's like, is this doing anything for you, my devil horns?
Do you like this? I'll stop if you don't.
Just like, we try it out.
But it's so weird.
Anything going on down there?
It's so weird, though. It's like, are
knock you... Knock on wood.
Are you, like, trying to channel Michael Madsen? Like, dancing with a gun, yeah, kind of to a bad song sort of a thing.
It's weird.
Are you going to Dragula all day, little doggy?
But it's stupid because, like, I realized watching this movie, I don't ever need to see Keanu Reeves dance.
No, he's just no John Travolta.
No, it's a weird thing.
It's very weird.
You're just looking at it like, is that good? Like, you don't even know. And then you're like, should I be looking at that? It's like staring into the sun.
And, like, he gets Keanu pissed off because he's like, oh, you think we have this great big relationship. You're fucking paperwork to me. He's like, do you know how many serial killers are active in Illinois right now? 5. And I'm like, that's an incredibly high number.
No, dude, he says 5 in the city of Chicago.
Like, it's so good. It's just like, you're just a fucking job to me, buddy.
Who, like, was I? Just a job? Oh, wait, I was? Oh, man.
But you've got other gentlemen suitors?
5 fucking serial killers in Chicago right now?
Yeah.
That's,
yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah, dude, it's big time numbers.
He might have been bluffing.
But this, I mean, is, yeah, I don't know what the statistics are.
This is the scene that really reminded me of The Dark Knight because it's like all rigged to blow.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
There's like gas or whatever all stacked up and it's like ready to light up.
Yeah. Yes, hardware store attendant. I do need 16 separate cans of gasoline. Thank you. Don't ask why.
Isn't it weird? You can't buy like 7 packs of Sudafed, but I could buy all this gasoline?
And this sawed-off shotgun without a background check?
Closing time. Man, if that band just came around semi-sonic,
yeah,
semi-sonic in
dude,
there.
Dude, fuck yeah, dude. Maybe some Chumbawamba.
Chumbawamba can get, yeah, in that.
Uh-huh.
Lit. Maybe Keanu is his own worst enemy. Who knows?
He could be.
I mean, the end of this movie is they get into a fight, right?
Yep.
And that shotgun that wall mounted shotgun comes into play.
Sure does.
It's my shotgun. It's Chekhov's shotgun.
I'm ready to blow, Captain. Here I come.
Oh, no, not on the deck of the Enterprise.
Oh, my.
Captain, the floor.
What sucks, though, is Spader definitely just shoots Keanu in, like, the leg.
Yeah.
Not even, like, the foot or the knee. Like, something that will incapacitate you the way you want to.
Or the dick.
Oh, yeah, shoot him right in the dick, dude.
The beloved dick shot.
That'll do it.
Shoot him while he's dancing at his devil horns.
Oh, my God, shot the devil horns!
they jump. The whole fucking warehouse is on fire. The big, dumb, like...
Spader sets the fire, though.
Yeah.
Because the other thing is... And again, more to this theory that, you know, Keanu's got it bad for Spader in this movie. There's all of the gasoline and whatnot, but there's candles everywhere,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing is like when these candles burn down, they might get to the gas or whatever.
It's scented, though.
But I don't know what, like, he throws something at him or something happens and Spader knocks over one of these candles.
Yeah.
And that starts this huge blaze.
And him and Marissa Tomei jump out the window and, like, Keanu doesn't get out in time.
Oh, he totally catches on fire.
Burning up. And then he jumps out the window.
And this is some Spawn-level special effects.
Woof, the CGI fire.
This is insane.
It's so bad.
And it's the end of your movie. This is the most important scene in your movie, theoretically.
I honestly thought that... At the end here would be a fight in that in the water down there,
yeah,
with Keanu as like a blackened burnt skeleton.
Oh man, that
like
would be awesome.
Jason and the Argonauts like fighting James Spader.
Well, the interesting thing is there is no last act. Oh, we thought he was dead, now he's back. Because I think Keanu was just done. Like Keanu's like, put a fucking dummy in the water. I'm dead. Okay,
congratulations. No. There won't be a twist ending. Thank you very much.
If you want Brian to do it, he'll do it. But I am done.
Sure, he's fat and has red hair, so he looks nothing like me. That doesn't matter. This movie fucking sucks anyway. No one's going to see it. As a matter of fact, I remember...
That no one went to see this.
I had just started working at the multiplex at the time when this movie came out. Mm. And you had to do the thing where every Thursday night, like, you put up the new posters, this, that, the other thing. And so I've just got this, like, roll of posters that I'm putting up in the cases. And I didn't know what this movie was.
I thought the poster was pretty cool. I didn't see the movie until last fucking night. But in 2000, I was like, that movie looks pretty cool.
Dude, I put up this poster, and I'm not paying attention. You just like stick it in the light box, and I close it, and I lock it, and I step back, and I look at it, and I was like, no one's seeing this movie.
Well, it's like Keanu in a darkened silhouette.
Yes, and he's holding the piano wire and whatever.
I was like, oh, yeah, dude, what's he up to?
Turns out it was no good.
So at the end of the movie is the end of the movie. Like, Keanu does not come back for... Like, there's just, like, the Red Skull is in the water,
dude,
apparently.
Dude, they make a point to be like, this movie is over with. Because, like, Spader helps get Marissa Tomei out of the water. And then he swims over to Keanu, who's face down. And he turns him over, and it's like... Rah! And it's like, all right, yeah, that dude's dead.
Yeah, he's not coming back. There's no Watcher 2.
Yeah, you can see the inside of his face.
And I think the last line is, because like it's like they replay the
Dracula.
Spader. No, they don't. They replay Spader's first conversation with Marissa Tomei, and at the end of it, as a therapist, you know, you would. He says, "Time's up." Which is really just like, yeah, I'm done with this movie. Thanks, and good night, Brian.
Everyone's so... The editor was done. He was like, you know a great way to end this? Just put time's up in there. Done with this movie, man. Like, just talk... It's one of those things where it's like, why'd you want to make this movie? Why did anybody want to make this movie?
Movies about killers were all the rage.
In the late 90s, early 2000s, it was... I mean, like... Mm-hmm. We still get it a little bit, but yeah, there was that post Seven.
Yeah, you're right.
Silence of the Lamb. Like any kind of serial killer movie wherein the serial killer is cat and mousing with someone.
Right.
And it's kind of sexy.
And definitely want it to be a little bit sexy.
Just a little sexy.
This movie could have been sexified by like 65%, though.
Yeah, man.
You know,
we weren't ready for it as a country, unfortunately.
But there's ways to do it, man.
I would have loved for them to get down and fucking dirty.
Oh yeah, and Spader's doing like a "is this what you want?" You know, this is what you've always wanted, kind of a thing. Like tricking him so like Tomei can get out of there, kind of a thing.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, dude. Like
the saxophone comes in. There's no saxophone in this movie. It's all fucking Dragulas left and right.
You know, too many Dragulas.
Gotta tell you, that just worked for me.
Yeah, you know, I mean, back then, the value of a Dracula was way higher than it is today. It was kind of cool. It was kind of cool to have a Dracula in your movie.
I kind of want my funeral. I mean, like, well, you know, I'll write a funeral when I'm older, but like if I or write a will when I'm older. But if not,
I want to write it now.
If before I get to it, I'd like Dracula to play at my funeral. Like, I just want, like, just like, it's a real stoic memorial service. It's a big picture of me, and everyone's really sad. It's like, Steven wanted one song to play.
Entirety.
Absolutely. Before eulogies, Steven would like everyone to just ruminate on this song.
Dig through the ditches and burn.
Do I have your permission to put that on Periscope?
Please, Periscope.
Live stream that.
Dude, we're definitely going to have to live stream Steve's funeral.
There is an 85% chance I'm going to listen to Rom Zombie when I leave here tonight.
Yeah, good idea.
And now I'm going to think about you dying.
More so than usual.
More, a little bit more.
Haven't seen it yet. Guaranteed to be better than The Watcher. Rob Zombie's 31 coming out this year. I'm fucking pumped for that movie.
Oh, yeah. What's that about?
It's about a bunch of people like get stuck in some like... I don't know if it's like a house or a facility or something like that, and there's fucking crazy clowns trying to kill them.
Clowns?
I don't know if I can do that one, guys.
I know. Dude, I'm going to have to wear a, dude, I'm wearing a diaper to the theater. I'm
going
to have to.
I can handle it.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Because I really liked his last movie, and I was when you were like, oh, a house, I'm like, that's so cool. If you said anything else other than clowns, if you're like devil people or whatever, I'm like, yeah. Then you're like, clowns. I'm like, no.
I know, dude.
No.
That guy loves clowns.
Yeah, he loves eerie clowns specifically. Would anybody recommend The Watcher?
Nope. No, I would not. It's okay. It's like sort of just such a... It's a bit of a time capsule-y movie. You can enjoy some of it, but not really.
I actually think this might be an all right Hangover movie.
Yeah.
My thoughts, you know? Exactly.
Because it's move. Like... It's slow, it's meandering, it's like a detective movie, but you don't really have to pay attention.
No, you know exactly where it's going,
like,
that's
okay,
the thing.
Yeah. I feel like if you're fucking trashed on a Sunday morning, you know?
Yeah.
After you finish listening to that Velvet Underground song Sunday morning, you put on The Watcher, and you watch it.
No, exactly. Like, if you wake up and you feel like a cat shit down your throat, put on The Watcher and just recover with some Gatorade.
But under no other circumstances.
No.
Like, this is not like a get your buddies together around the television.
No, not at all.
No. This is hangover or bust.
That's The Watcher from the year 2000, directed by Joe Charbonnet. Who cares? If you want to get a hold of us, check out our website, whmpodcast.com, or find us over at sideshownetwork.tv. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We're at WHM Podcast. Right into the ye old mailbag, of course. weallhatemovies@gmail.com. Rate and review the show wherever you get it. We would greatly appreciate it.
I want to stress that a little bit.
Yep.
I've noticed, guys, you're not really rating and reviewing the show on iTunes or Stitcher Radio or wherever you receive the program. It matters. You don't think it matters, but like
your vote counts,
and your quarterly review is coming up. So now would be the time.
You know, this draconian iTunes system. Reviews are weighted. It would really help the profile of the show if you would take 10 goddamn seconds out of your day. I mean, it's like 10 seconds.
It's 10 seconds you're doing something that's not watching part of The Watcher, so that's fine.
There you go.
So next week, we're venturing into what now?
Olympus has fallen. We're going to the nation's capital to watch it explode.
That's right. It's our live episode recorded at the DC Improv back last December. Ooh. We had a great time down there in DC, so we will be coming to you. Well, not live. It was recorded literally months ago. But great room, great crowd, great club. We were happy to be there.
Thank you for coming out.
Yeah, if you were there.
Yeah.
You know.
If you snuck in. Oh, boy.
But, you know, get ready for Gerard Butler impressions, mm-hmm. Morgan Freeman impressions.
Some Aaron Eckhart's in there.
I don't know if we're doing Aaron Eckhart impressions necessarily.
I did some Aaron Eckhart face expressions. You had to be there. It pays to go to the live shows.
And the week after that, we'll be doing The Shadow when we go to Listener Request Month.
That's correct. So next week, live episode, Olympus Has Fallen, and then Listener Request Month kicks off with Alec Baldwin in The Shadow. So until next week, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Sisko.
Take it easy.